Both the porters lived very locally. One was Fred James, who lived in the road down the side of the school. The other one was George Flack, who lived in the middle of the estate. You went to his house. If you came out the big gates of the station, up the hill, turn left, and he lived in the middle there. So they were both really very easy to get to work. So, I mean, Fred James was very reliable. He would be there spot on all the time, no bother.
Do you know how long Fred had been working there?
Oh, it seemed as if he was part of the building. It seemed as if he'd been there a long time. He was there when I went there, and I don't know how long he'd been before that. But
what do you know about him, where he'd come from?
Well, he was in the army, I do know that. He was in the army, and he got wounded as well. Tom Swaby tried to persuade him to claim for a pension, and he wouldn't. And I think it upset Tom, actually, quite a bit. Tom thought he should have it, and he just didn't want to know. I don't know why, but he just didn't want to know. Fred used to shout Woodlesford, right?
Why?
So that passengers knew they were at Woodlesford. Yes, so he used to shout Woodlesford. But the funny thing about it was, occasionally Fred got sent to Altos, and he would shout Woodlesford at Altos, which always used to tickle everybody, He used to shout Woodlesford at Altos. Passengers used to be running around like headless chickens trying to find out where they were. The other porter was George Flack, and he was considerably younger than Fred. And he eventually went to be the checker at Skelton Grange. And he was replaced, actually, by Harold Ellis. Now, Harold Ellis was very handy. I tell you before, he built those racks at Woodlesford Station.
Where did he come from? Where did he live?
He was he lived at Methley. And he was a turkey farmer. And he got fed up of the fact that he was more or less only getting paid once a year. He was working like somebody not right in December and not getting any money for the rest of the time. So he decided to pack it in and get a job on the railway. So he came. Now, he was very useful, was Harold, because he built these racks for me and we organised the parcels and what have you. But eventually, of course, in 1963, when I didn't get the summer relief station master's job, the bloke that did was the former station master at Kirkstall at Leeds. And he came, and we were talking, and our booking office window was just a plain sheet of glass with a hole to shout through and a hole to put the ticket through. And this bloke from Kirkstall said, "Jack, there's a what they call a hygiophone window in at Kirkstall." He says, "It's one of these windows where you've got like a membrane in between and it vibrates and the sound comes through and you don't get the germs." So he says, "It's there. Kirkstall's shut." He says, "It's hidden behind a poster board. They've put a poster board to hide it." He says, "Get Harold and a big hammer and we'll go to Kirkstall now in my car. And we'll get it." So away we go, Harold with a big hammer, me and this relief station master. We went to Kirkstall. We bashed this window out at Kirkstall. We came back and we bashed the window out at Woodlesford. It's all illegal stuff, this, like, you shouldn't have done it. Bashed the window out at Woodlesford and put the window in. But unfortunately, the membrane was broken. So I thought, right, okay. So I put some requisition in and sends the frame in and said, "Can you please replace the membrane in this?" You see. And a couple of weeks later, it comes back repaired. And they didn't, we shouldn't have even had a window in the first place. But it came back repaired. And we actually put this hygiophone window in. Adel actually put it in himself.
So you've told me who the porters were. What was their routine? The two porters that were on duty.
The one thing that's missing actually is the lampman's duties. They took quite a lot of the time up. The routine was to actually go out and see to the trains, make sure the doors were shut because they were slammed doors, of course, and the porter had to make sure the doors were shut tip the guard, okay, the doors are all shut. The guard would, you know, buzz, buzz, or wave, wave, and away you would go.
How did they know there was a train due?
The bell used to ring from the signal box. There was a big bell above the door, and it used to ring one for one side and two for the other side, and you knew they were coming. So they would go out in good time, see to the train, check the parcels off, look, bring them across on the barrow, sort them out, put them in the racks, you know, just general. Once you got to know the routine, it was dead easy. There was nothing to it, really.
What else did the porters have to do?
Some places, they had a separate lampman, right? But at Woodlesford, they didn't. And it was the lampman's duties were done by the porter. So that involved, of course, climbing up quite high signals and walking quite a long way as well, of course, because you had to go and do the distance signal, which was quite a long way back from the actual stop home board.
Describe the lamp to me for anybody who doesn't know.
Well, the lamp was just an oil lamp, and it would last a week. And if it didn't get done in the week, it went out, and that was it. And then, of course, the train's driver would complain that he couldn't see the signal light sort of thing, so it had to be done. It was a job that had to be done. And in actual fact, the clerks have climbed up the signals, I've climbed up the signals, Tom Swaby's climbed up the signal, you know, to make sure that the light's actually in.
So once a week, the porter usually had to fill up this lamp with oil.
Clean it. Do put new wicks in sometimes and things like that. He used to bring the lamps to the station, do them at the station. He used to have more or less two sets, you know. He would have one in the signal and one back at the station and just swap them over.
And once you'd put one in and lit the wick, it lasted through the day and through the night.
For a week.
So that during the night there was a light that the train drivers could see.
Yes.
And what colours were there?
The colours were on the signal. They weren't on the lamp. All the lamp was a light. When the signal moved up, the lamp on the green colour on the lamp on the post side used to change from red to green. So it was the actual signal that showed the colour, not the lamp. The lamp was just a light.
So the two porters on their shift at some point every week used to have to do all the lamps for all the signals.
Clean
in the
waiting rooms.
And so what else did they do?
Clean the waiting rooms, see to the trains, load the parcels up, and just generally look after the station. They used to garden, of course, as well, and put the plants in. So we won the best station competition quite a few times. And they used to get money, of course, for winning it. And then you use that money next year to buy plants for next year, which was, you know, quite good. Fred had an aviary on the garden on the signal box side of the platform. And he used to keep budgies in there purely as a hobby. I mean, it wasn't a railway job as such. It was a hobby for Fred, and he used to just look after them like that. And they said that he had them trained, that if he sold any to anybody, which he did occasionally, of course, people wanted a budgie and he sold them a budgie. But they reckoned that he had them all trained like pigeons to fly. If they got away, they would fly back to Fred's aviary. And it was good for him, really, you know.